Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. I'm really pleased to have Nick Appleyard with me for the first time. He was appointed president and CEO of TriStar Gold in this in December 2015. He has executive experience in mining, having previously been the CEO of Chaparral Gold and vice president corporate development for international minerals. And he has over 25 years of international experience in precious metals, exploration and mining. And he has managed exploration, development, and production joint ventures in North America and South America, including extensive project development experience in South America with more than 10 years in country and prior to that in Australia. And he speaks Spanish fluently. It's a bilingual technical person. It's very, very good to have Nick with us today. Thanks for joining me, Nick.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Jay.
Yeah, it's really good to hear your story, and I'm going to be meeting up with you at the Metals Investor Forum, meet you personally for the first time. It seems to me that that your project, based on what I've seen so far, looks very robust economically. It is the Castelo de Sonhos Paleoplacer Gold Project in Pará State, Brazil, which is a very pro-mining province of Brazil. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about that project? How many ounces of gold have you outlined so far? Talk a little bit about the economics of the project and where you're going to go from here.
Okay, yeah, Jay. So we've outlined roughly 2 million ounces now, which is 1.3 million ounces inferred, 700,000 ounces in indicated. And from that, we did the PEA, and which had a production, you know, conceptual production of 1.1 million ounces with some really nice economics. Mm-hmm. Those economics, I mean, we ended up with like a 43% post-tax and 264 million post-tax NPV. So really, really robust numbers for a project like this, you know.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that your symbol, you trade in Canada under the symbol TSG, and down in the States under TSGZF, and 178 million shares at 21 cents Canadian today. So it gives us a market cap of, I would say, around 38 million or so U.S., something like that, if my math is correct. But anyway, it's a very small market cap. What in terms of your economics for this project, you came up with a net present value, it seems to me, of something substantially greater than what your current market cap is.
Absolutely. It was, I mean, current market cap, as you suggested, is in the 35 million range. And, you know, an NPV was 264 post-tax, and that was at $1,250 gold as well. So if you run in today's gold prices, that goes even higher.
Yeah, it sure does. Now, there's very often a disconnect because people are concerned about how you're going to finance this. You have a very small market cap. You know, if you had a big market cap, it would be very easy. You could raise sell a few more shares, maybe borrow some money and so forth. So I'm sure that's one issue that people are wondering about, you know, the disconnect between the market cap and the price. And, you know, it's a risky business. Price of gold could go down. A lot of things could happen, I suppose. And I think we're not really in a gold bull market yet. I think people are having a lot of fun in the big stock market, and they haven't really moved money into gold to speak of, to gold mining shares, especially the lower level developing companies. But you're now involved in a PEA, or you're upgrading your PEA into a sort of a feasibility study, I guess. And how long do you think that will take, and how long do you think it might be before you start thinking about production, or is that something you're not at all thinking about yet?
No, I think with the recent investment we received from Royal Gold in the $8 million US they put into us for pre-feasibility, that is really coming on the back of, they believe and we believe this project is now moving in the direction of going into production in a fairly short term. So our pre-feasibility study should be complete by this time next year. And that the results of that will give us a sort of a production decision point. And our estimates is we could be in production something like 3 years later from there. Mm-hmm. It'll take another year or so to get final permits, and then 2 years to get it into production after that. So we think it's moving forward in that direction now. Mm-hmm. I think part of the disconnect you spoke about, we see it as well. I think people don't recognize that, well, they do recognize there are many big hurdles in getting projects into production, and mm-hmm. you know, what we see in Castelo de Sonios is a lot of those hurdles just don't exist here. You know, we're in mining-friendly state, we're on a highway, we're on a power line, we're in previously disturbed countrysides and no pristine environment, no national park. A lot of those red flags and risk points that projects see, we just don't have. So I think that's what Royal Gold recognized as well.
I know your preliminary economic assessment suggested that the all-in sustaining cost of only $687 per ounce, which is very low compared to most mining operations. What are some of the factors in this project that make it apparently so economically robust?
I think the characteristics of the project which help that all-in sustaining are, this is effectively a large deposit that's a new discovery. So the part of the ore body that we're targeting right now is literally sticking out of the ground. Mm-hmm. We can walk for about 12 kilometers and see the conglomerate coming to surface. And because it's silicified and harder than the surrounding rock, it literally does stick out of the ground. So that just makes very, very simple, shallow, open pit mining. And then you combine that with the nature of this style of paleoplacer, where we get 98% recovery from the simplest metallurgical processes you can define, because there is almost nothing in this rock other than sand and gold. And the gold occurs as just free grains of gold. I have not seen a grain of sulfide on site. We have no copper, we have no arsenic, no mercury. There's literally, not exactly, but there is very, very little else in there other than sand and gold. So those are the unique characteristics which give us such low costs.
Yeah, and so I want to ask you another question I had was, what is the upside in terms of exploration? And I think you sort of touched on it. You said you can see these outcroppings stretching for how far, strike length?
Well, we have 19 kilometers of outcrop on site we've identified. There's probably, I'm not sure, something like 10 or so kilometers of that where it has a very favorable dip for open pit mining. Some of the spots it gets steeper and it's less favorable for open pit mining. But you know, for me, having worked in exploration and developed my whole career for more years than I'd care to think right now, you know you're just scratching the surface. We're drilling only 120 meter deep holes here. There are multiple other targets a little bit deeper and adjacent to this. So the potential for this project is still huge. We're really only scratching the surface.
And so the intention is to get into production fairly early, generate some cash flow, and develop something bigger. Is that the modus operandi?
Yeah, the idea is that the one portion that we're doing the pre-feasibility now, Esperanza South, which is one sort of limb or one corner of the plateau, we'll move forward into production quite quickly, and the rest of the project, we'll start exploring it early next year to make sure that we can expose any upside, keep that growth going in the short and medium term as well. But then we will have to make a decision when the feasibility is done as to whether TriStar moves it into production or whether we then bring in a large partner or we get acquired. And in reality, that for me is a pure business decision based on what's best for the shareholders at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly if you can demonstrate something of size there, I think it would be probably appealing to a larger group. I can't help but note that Dr. Quentin Henning, who's very well known to listeners of this show, is on your board of directors, and my friend Eric Coffin, who was with me the prior segment, noted that Quentin always suggests that it's go big or go home. And so he must have seen something, large-scale potential here, or else he probably wouldn't be as interested in your project as he is. So I think that makes your story very exciting. I mean, it's one thing to have a small, relatively small, although you're talking about 1.1 million ounces of gold production. It's one thing to have something really small and sort of marginal, and you get your capital return maybe, but not a lot more. But when you can see something that has the potential scale, I think that's what makes this potentially very, very exciting for investors.
No, you're absolutely right. And Quinton's a great director for us because he is one of the world level experts on paleoplacers. And I've learned a lot from him. And hopefully, as we learn on this, we can reciprocate and send some of the knowledge back. But yeah, Quinton's a fantastic board director to have in this project. And you're right, it's nice for us to have something real in the feasibility study and a lot of upside there on this mainly unexplored plateau.
Okay, so because we lost some time here, I have to sort of wind this down. But what's in store? What should investors be looking forward to then through 2020 as we end this year into 2020? Will you be having some news coming out from time to time?
Absolutely. There'll be the normal monthly sort of updates on the progress of the pre-feasibility study. That'll probably be on a monthly basis, the drill results, metallurgical results, updates of resource, and as that all goes along. And that should all be business-like and formal, and, you know, it is what it is. It's a good business plan, and it'll work. I think the exciting thing will be the exploration that we're going to start doing to expose even more value and the upside that we think is there at the project. So that other work should start in, hopefully, January or February as well. That news will start to flow out.
Oh, so you may be doing some exploration next year as you continue.
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I think that's what will generate excitement for your stock possibly and help you finance your way forward.
Yeah.
So,
no, I think,
all right. Is there anything else, a last word you'd like to leave with our listeners?
No, as I said, I think it's just this two-pronged attack with something real and validated by someone as good as Royal Gold coming in and investing in Esperanza South. You know,
right.
It gives us a real base and then that upside potential beyond there. But, you know, but our valuation doesn't even cover what Royal Gold are doing with us. So everything beyond that is pure cream. So this is going to be an exciting project, an exciting 18 months coming forward for us now.
Very good. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Vancouver, Nick, and you and I will be doing another interview up there, and we'll have time to chat some more, and I'll be passing this on to my listeners and also my subscribers. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look to do it again sometime in the not-too-distant future.
Okay, thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you very soon.